Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from NAM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're talking eco-friendly materials and sustainable construction systems with Anna Perramon Dominguez, who is an architect and director of Arc Nature. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. Do you mind introducing yourself in a bit more detail so we get to know you a bit better?
Yeah, no. Well, I'm Anna. I'm from Barcelona. I came here to Australia like 4 years ago. And yeah, I work as an architect back home in Spain like for 4 years. And actually I'm here since working 3 years already. Mm-hmm. And learning a bit around. I travel a bit in Indonesia, in Thailand also. Like, I like to see how they build in different countries too, what they use and which construction systems they're using.
Great. And we're going to get into that a bit later in a bit more detail as well. But what brought you to Australia? Was it that wanting to learn and explore a bit more?
Honestly, I thought that here, I would say something that maybe is not right to say, but I thought that you were like more developed in, sustainable construction. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that it's not like this. But you are more developed with like renewable energies and stuff. But in terms of the skin of the building, is not like that. But it brings me this, the idea of that I would learn more. Mm-hmm. And also the landscapes and the nature that you're having here and the surf.
Yes. Yeah. That's the real reason. I think, you know, having done this podcast for a little while, Australia still has a lot of work to do in terms of being more eco-friendly in terms of materials and our systems and even with our energy and all of those things. But hopefully we're helping a little bit there.
Exactly.
Today. And also, you know, in your work as well, hopefully we're making a bit of a mark and hopefully that'll help to
exactly.
move things along.
Slowly.
Yeah. But before we do get into that a little bit more, first of all, I like to do a section called Have You Met Anna? And that's where we talk about some of your favorite things. So first of all, what is your favorite book?
My favorite book, I think, is The Art of Happiness, Dalai Lama and Howard Cutler, I think is a psychologist. And it's pretty good, the book. I read it when I had like a tough time some years ago. And I know I love also all these kind of books that it makes you understand yourself better. Mm-hmm. And the book like basically make you understand that there is no problems than like death and health. Mm-hmm. And the other ones, it's just your mind.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think, death and health are very important. And I think everything else is probably just sort of made up, isn't it?
Yeah, being worried for, what I'm going to be working tomorrow on or whatever, or like this relationship. Or I think it's not that.
Yeah.
No, problematic.
Yeah. And I can relate to that. I worry about lots of things. And actually, health and death aren't the ones I worry about so much.
Okay, well, but no, he's saying that you don't have to worry in the future. You have to be present. If now you are sick, mm-hmm. yeah, that's the only thing.
That yeah,
matters.
Okay.
Or if someone died, like close to you, yeah, that's the real problems that you are like passing through. But mm-hmm. the future, the past is not considered.
Fair enough, fair enough. And have you enjoyed any movies recently?
Recently, I watched in the cinema Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh, everyone is talking about this movie. Let's go and watch it then. And I really like it. The second meaning that there is behind about that. And also, I also watched Girls Can Surf. And was pretty good. Like, I didn't realize how the woman was not allowed to compete for so long. I think it was not, and they were not winning much money. I think just, I don't know, a couple of years ago, they put the same money to
win. Oh, wow.
In the woman or men competitions. Yeah, and it impacts me a bit.
Yeah. And I mean, it's surprising in some ways, but also at the same time, I think that there are many sports where there isn't equal pay between the competitions between the men and the women.
Still a lot.
Still. And so the fact that surfing did it a couple of years ago makes it maybe a little bit progressive.
Exactly. It's, I think, just one of those, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of them that still they're not paying the same.
Yeah.
Also with the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I think like maybe, I don't know, Australia is more develop, but still also, but other countries like, or even the woman cannot work, but
I mean, we still have, pay inequality in Australia, maybe not as bad as other countries, but it's still there.
Yeah. For example, I'm an architect and I realized that I don't know many women who is the CEO, director, of their company, of their studio. For all the ones I work here in Australia, they're men.
Yeah. I spoke to another architect for the podcast, Anna Power, and she was saying that knowing other women architects as she was starting off, she's a bit older, she's a bit more established, and she's like, she didn't know anyone, so it was really important to have that community and how important it was to know people. So I think that that's definitely true. What you're saying is that the older generations, there's far fewer women architects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we are getting there. We're getting there. Hopefully.
Mm. Yeah. And do you listen to any podcasts at the moment?
At the moment, I'm listening a lot. Most of them are from Jay Shetty. Do you know him?
I've heard of the name, but do you mind explaining what their podcasts are about?
Yeah, he's from India originally, but he was living in London. He had like a nice career, but then he decided to become a monk for 3 years, and he's still like in Thailand or whatever, learning from them. And in there, he said that in the and that place, he realized like, oh, the purpose of life, or what he wants to do, and he wants to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically talk about life and how to manage all the problems that we have. And he's like, I think he's really precise on every point, and also in relationships, in your work, and your purpose of life, if you feel lost, how to overcome all these problems. It's pretty good. I like it.
It sounds like you're a really great companion to this podcast, I think, because we're also trying to help people in various ways. So I'm going to have to give that a listen.
Like, yeah. You should.
I mean, I always need more help.
No, but it's always good to, I don't know, to rethink everything on yourself and better.
And get some new perspectives about different problems as well.
Like, it's always good to learn.
Great. Thank you. And do you have a role model?
I don't have specifically a role model like this person, I would say. But I do have like kind of people that I really admire. That is this kind of people that puts all their efforts in their lives to help people. And they don't care about all the other people think. They go out of the box, let's say. I don't know. I would say, like, maybe one example, like Greta. mm-hmm. and then the back, like, she's just a girl,
yeah.
and she's like, yeah, we have to fight for the climate change and stuff, and it's like, I don't know, she doesn't care about anything else and goes ahead, and even if someone tell her, you are a girl, what are you doing?
Like,
yeah, she doesn't care. Oh, also, some artists like Gaudi. I don't know if you know Gaudi.
A little Barcelona. Bit. Did he build the church or start building
the
church?
Yeah, the Sagrada Familia.
Yeah.
And she does like crazy architecture, like organic, like curves, crazy stuff. Like that maybe when he starts, the people mm-hmm. would tell him like, what are you doing? It's like, you have to do it square, you know? But he's like, I don't care. I go for it. This is mm-hmm. what I think, the passion that I follow. And I think it's a constant and perseverance of someone and passion and don't care about what the people think.
Yeah, I think that, I have a lot of admiration, for people who know what they want and they're not afraid to go for it and they're not afraid of what everyone else is saying.
Exactly, yeah. We should be like that all the time.
And have you completed any courses that have inspired you?
Lately, I was doing like a marketing course mm-hmm. That because now we're going to the digital world full on and I was like, maybe I should like learn a bit more for mm-hmm. myself also to put me out there and to understand how it's working, all this crazy world, because the other generation is coming with everything learned and stuff, but mm-hmm. I'm from the 90s and it's like, not like we start to know a bit more, but just like a little about this digital mm-hmm. world. We don't know that much.
Yeah.
As the youngest, I think.
Yeah. I think I experienced that the other day. I was like, oh, this phone, I don't understand how I'm supposed to use it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, just 5 years ago, I was helping people open PDFs.
Exactly. And now there are too many apps.
Yeah.
It's like this and this and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and whatever. I'm like, whoa, I'm getting stressed just with Instagram and Facebook. I'm like, oh, I don't know how you can keep up or.
Yeah.
Oh, your mind goes so fast, I think.
Yeah.
I think we have a big problem with mental health in this moment with the digital world, but
I think it is important to keep up with the new changes and make sure that we're using them for how they need to be used effectively. But at the same time, obviously with everything, a little bit too much can be a bad thing and can affect us mentally.
Exactly.
So I like to start off the podcast by defining some key things so that, we know what we're talking about in the topic. So the first thing I'd like to know is, how do you define home organization?
I would define home organization like how you can build your house more efficient in mm-hmm. a high performance way, mm-hmm. let's say. And I think that for this case, like, you have to understand, like, there is two main strategies to make your home more efficient, let's say. One is, like, the passive strategies and the other one, the active ones. So the passive strategies are, like, the ones that, for example, the orientation, where you have how you locate your house, the sun study that you do. Even in winter, you have more sun or less in summer. If you can, like, I don't know, cover yourself and protect yourself from the sun in summer, you're going to be more fresh. Mm-hmm. It's like this passive strategy is the ones that you don't need any external resource to be comfort inside of your house. Also, the skin of your house. If you have like a good isolated house, mm-hmm. you would not need that much demand mm-hmm. for your heating or cooling, mm-hmm. let's say. But if it's like paper walls.
Like my place.
Exactly. Then in winter, you're going to be, or in the peak of the cold, you're going to be so cold. You're going to need a lot of heating. Mm-hmm. And all this is super important. And also the materials. Mm-hmm. Like you need to know which materials are going to give you some freshness maybe in summer, mm-hmm. for their thermal mass. Mm-hmm. Or which one's going to give you some protection, like a jacket for you for winter. Uh-huh. And this would be like the passive strategies. Mm-hmm. Do you know about passive house?
I know a little bit. So
yeah. Like passive houses, it origins in Germany. I think 1990. Well, it was like some of the architects, they got together like to understand which would be the high performance house. So they said, okay, if you have that much insulation, you have the windows with the glass that is like double or triple glazing. If you have air tightness. Yeah, in your house, that for example in the door you don't have like this typical
a draft
air going on and out. And also you have like a really good cross ventilation, but with it's called like a heat pump recovery. Mm-hmm. So it's a ventilation that, for example, in summer, you will have like, you want to keep this fresh inside. Mm-hmm. So you bring the air from outside, it's really hot. You bring it in a little machine. It exchanges the air from inside that is like started to be too warm because there is too many people or wherever you are in the kitchen. And then this machine mix the air from outside, from the inside, and change this hot and cold, so you don't lose the energy. And then you bring new air, but not as hot as it was, let's say. And in the other way around, like in winter, you don't bring it that cold as you had. For of the five principles of passive house, we said isolation, mm-hmm. Air tightness, the cross ventilation with the heat recovery, the windows to be super like well isolated, and then we have the thermal bridge. You can have like escape of heat or cooling, because maybe imagine you have a hole in your wall, you're gonna escape. So you're trying to design the house that you're gonna have like a really good, you will not have any hole where the heat or the cool can escape or can transmit with the type of the material.
Okay.
Well, this is passive because you don't need, if it's really good, the house, you wouldn't need that much to bring air conditioning or heating that much, because it's gonna stay.
You don't need to like actively heat it or cool it or ventilate it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would say this is one factor, the passive strategies. Mm-hmm. And the other one is like the active strategies, which means like, how you get these energies from outside, if you get them from renewable energies or you get them from the typical electricity company, it would be like less high performing or not. Because imagine, for me, the ideal house that would be like for us, the ideal house that you would like is like the one that you can live in there without depends of anything external. So if there is a war or there is something happening, you have your heating, your cooling, your water, and even your food. So in Byron, for example, we are doing like some houses that are called off the grid. So you have your energy from the solar panels, you heat and cool with that, like, I don't know. And you recover, you take all the water from the rain and you put it in big tanks, or you can reuse it in the house. So with a lot of these factors, you made this house that it's super high performance. Like, you wouldn't need anything exterior. You will not spend that much money after to live in there, basically.
Yeah, so you're designing that type of house, this passive house.
Yeah, we are designing. We use the same standards. But to be an actual passive house, you need like a certified for that. We don't do that, but with my roommate that I work with, she's certified in a passive house. So what we do is like, we design the houses with these standards. And so it's going to be, so much more efficient.
Yeah, great. that sounds amazing. I hate putting the air conditioning on in my apartment. You know, because I always put it too cold, and then you get too cold, and then you turn it off, you get too hot. And it's like, why doesn't it just stay the perfect temperature without having to do anything? And that sounds like exactly.
And in one house that I built in Spain, in Costa Brava, what we use is like, it's called aerothermia. So you take the air from outside and you use this in the condenser, like to change this energy. So you get more efficient energy from the outside. And then with this, you have like low temperature fan coils. So it's kind of a air conditioning, but it's low temperature. For example, the air conditioning is going to go like too cold or too hot.
Yeah.
This one is like subtle temperature. You will never be like too cold or too hot.
Yeah.
So you just need to heat the water. Like a normal radiator would be 60 or 70. With this one, it's just 35.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's almost the half.
Yeah.
So it's half energy that you are using.
Yeah.
And if you are your skin of the house and you are well performing this house, you would not need that that much cold, you know?
Yeah.
So you're going to save a lot with energy.
And I mean, energy is so expensive right now. And so, you know, and that's amazing. And it's going to get more expensive. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, we talked a bit about, passive houses and what that means. But today we're going to be talking about, eco-friendly materials and construction. So do you mind, what is eco-friendly? How do you make your house eco-friendly? And then after that, I'm going to ask you some questions about construction.
Okay. The eco-friendly meaning, I would say that it's the embodied energy that you need to use to create this material, to produce this tile or this structure. So it means like the transport that you need, for example, if you need to bring this from Finland to Australia, it's not that eco-friendly because you're going to need a lot of CO2 emissions to bring it here. So how closer it is, better. Then another factor about embodied energy is like, how many machines, how many processes do you need to create this product? So, for example, I don't know, this tile, I need to process with this machine, pick up everything. Then, like, I need to put these products, leave it in here, put it in the oven to, I don't know how many degrees. And all this process has, like, an impact. Also, another factor to be like eco-friendly material or not is the health impact that it has, or the environmental impact. For example, like which chemicals do you need to use to create this material? And also, when you're going to put it in your house, it going to affect you or not? Like, there is, for example, don't know, a simple example is like the paintings. Mm-hmm. When you paint your house with a normal painting, you're going to be breathing like a little particles that it's going to make you, it can produce you cancer.
Yeah.
But if you do it, you use like one that is like with no VOC particles, then this one going to be better for you, for your children, for everything. That's the idea. So what you're going to use in your building, which materials, it's going to be more healthy for you. It's like, I would compare with the food.
Uh-huh.
Like when you go to McDonald's, mm-hmm. and you're going to eat a burger, yeah, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like more processed food.
Yeah.
And like
less nutrients.
Know what they put. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did they put in there? That's the same.
Yeah. And I mean, we spend so much time in our homes and we have to breathe. There's no way we can't breathe. And we're just breathing in all these chemicals that we don't know what they're doing to us, or we do know, and it's not good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
That's one of the factors.
So, yeah. So using materials that are better for us, that are maybe more locally produced and, you know, with less processing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I'm guessing also that maybe eco-friendly materials, does that also extend to, as you said, passive houses, reducing how much energy we're using to, you know, heat, cool, run our house as well?
Yeah, some that, because, well, passive house, I would say, is more like the energy that you will need, mm-hmm. or demand. But there are a lot of eco-friendly materials that they have better characteristics,
yeah.
than... like I would say, like chemical materials or like super processed materials, yeah. you know.
Do you have any examples of these?
Yeah, for example, we have like, we were doing like timber houses in Spain, mm-hmm. that are prefabricated, like, and we put, you can choose any insulation in your house that you want. There is this foam, I don't know if you ever seen this yellow foam.
Oh, yeah.
This is super toxic. And it also, if there is a fire in your house, you're going to, you're going to burn straight away.
Oh, dear.
But, well, what I mean is, like, this is not, it's not good for the environment and also neither for your house. And we were using, like, timber fibers that you can also recycle them from fabrics that they are like cutting wood for structures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep all this waste and they put it in planks and they make like a, it's like softy, but
okay.
This has more character, euthermal. Well, it feels more warm in uh-huh. your house. It's gonna keep you more warmer
mm-hmm.
than the one that you spray over there, for example. Yeah, maybe it's a bit more expensive, but well, it shouldn't. But it's gonna be so much better for you,
yeah.
Like because then you will not need that much energy to cool or heat.
Yeah.
Also, now there are like a lot of, I don't know if you heard about hempcrete.
I don't know much. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah. It's basically walls made by hemp, lime and water, all mixed. Uh-huh. You mix it like the concrete.
Uh-huh.
You put some of the hemp straw in there, like some water and lime. And it makes like a pasta, like, I don't know, like...
like a paste?
Like a paste, sorry.
Yeah.
Pasta, I was saying in Spanish. Like a paste that with this, you build like the same molds that you create for the concrete and then uh-huh. you put it on.
Yeah.
And this is so much better because the concrete wall, it cannot breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So what it creates you mold in your house. If the humidity cannot go out and in, like it creates, well, basically out. If you are having a shower
yeah.
in your bathroom, then the things that you need to, that it breathes and the vapor, the steam goes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, for example, like a lot of organic or alternative construction system, this will breathe.
Uh-huh.
And then it creates like, it's so much better for your health also.
Yeah, that sounds great. Because yeah, the place that I'm living, made of concrete, and we have to have, you know, extraction systems in the bathroom or we'll get mold.
Exactly.
If our walls were, you know, as you were saying, a bit more, I guess, allowing of porous.
Breathable. Yeah.
Breathable, porous. you know, maybe we wouldn't have to have that, or we wouldn't have to use the fan as much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you will, again, you will use less energy.
Exactly.
To extract this.
Yeah. Interesting. Great. And I imagine that this type of materials, they require maybe different construction systems. So what is sustainable construction?
Yeah. The ideal sustainable construction would be like, you don't need to transport a lot the materials from mm-hmm. outside.
Yeah.
If you use the materials from your plot, that would be the best idea, like the best scenario. And it's possible, after I will explain. Also, transport also have like local workers, like helping the community, also like giving, not bring someone from Sweden or wherever, like to build because it's better or it's cheaper. Or what else? You have like
okay.
I forgot. Exactly. You can recycle, or if you can recycle or reuse these materials when you build a house. Now it's so trendy to be prefabricated, let's say, because you can like bring, you're gonna bring the foundations that you can like put it in and put it out if one day you leave or you want to sell this house or you want to sell it in another place, you could do that. So this is more sustainable than do something that is super
permanent,
yeah, because you will need to demolish.
Uh-huh.
You'll have a lot of waste after it, and all these waste, how we manage it, and et cetera, you know.
Okay, interesting. So not creating a house that's going to last forever, but instead creating a house that you can actually remove.
Exactly.
Interesting.
We know one guy who's like selling houses from America that they don't want it anymore. So he unbuilt the structure of the big sheds.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like big, chunky timber wood that is like in good quality. He chipped them in a boat and he brings it here in Australia to sell them, to build it up again.
Uh-huh.
And it's much cheaper because if not, like they would demolish anyway.
Yeah.
They will have to dump all the waste somewhere.
Yeah.
And instead of it, you reuse it for someone that needed it in here or whatever.
I do have a question about that.
Yeah.
So you were saying before that, you know, one way to minimize or to be more eco-friendly is to reduce the amount of like shipping that we have. So, I mean,
exactly.
I guess the way up there is if you buy this house from the US that is already pre-made, so you're, you know, saving something from being, from going to waste and also not having to create new materials, but you are having to ship it. Does it reduce the eco footprint?
The thing is, like, a lot of materials that you are using, they came already from outside anyway. But it's true that you have to put it in a balance.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the best to bring it from America to Australia.
Yeah. Maybe Australia to Australia would be okay.
Exactly. It's do the same kind of. But yeah, this guy was, like, selling it from there.
Mm-hmm.
He could. But that's why, like, if you have all the components like good, it's gonna be more sustainable construction than if you just have two of the five of those.
Yeah.
So it's true what you say. Yeah. It would be better that way.
So someone in Australia, please start a business where you deconstruct houses and then sell them within Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
And are there some other, you know, trends that, you know, architecture firms are using for eco-friendly materials?
Like why they're more trendy, no?
Yeah.
Well, I think why is like, thank God we are aware that we are like, have like an amount of resources in this planet. We don't have more.
It's
like this. And every time we are more and more people. I think now we are 9 billion.
Are we? Sure. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Last I heard we were 7 billion.
No, we're going up.
Yeah.
And quicker, because how more people we are, more children going to appear, isn't
it? Yeah.
So, yeah, I think more and more people is getting more aware of that, like, we need to go this way. And also, like, a lot of clients, there is like, I want to be more sustainable. I want to do something for the planet. I feel like they want to do that. Then you talk about cost. Maybe they change a bit their mind. But in our sector, we're seeing also like a lot of the demand is changing. I'm so happy about it. But yeah, we are like, we want to do it right. But because of the providers or builders, they used to do this for that many years, it's a bit hard to change that.
Yeah. So one of the challenges of eco-friendly building is the people just contractors who just maybe aren't willing to learn new techniques and new skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those is this one. It's so hard for a builder that he made concrete walls for 50 years, tell him to do, could you use this technique that we could try? They are doing it this in, I don't know, in this state or whatever. And it's like, not sure. This is one. And the other one is like the government, like, well, maybe not that much in here, but in Spain it's so hard to test a new construction system. So for example, I want to do bamboo houses now in here. And no one tests how much they perform, how they perform. Then they don't allow you to use them. This I understand for safety, but I think they need to make it easier for us to test and do some trials or whatever. So here is the hard part to do the change.
And I guess there's nothing much that we can do about this, maybe, you know, showing that there is the demand and, you know.
Or the knowledge that, they are doing this in Bali or wherever they are doing. Check it out. It's like, it's working. It's like super thermal comfort. Like, it's pretty good. Why we don't take this information, this testing, and bring it here instead of like, but yeah, I think this is a process of the architectures, architecture school, like to make this happen and to be more open-minded, that there is a way to make it better. And, but yeah. We have to keep going and push it a bit. Like, also it's the mindset. Because someone is like, I can't be bothered to try it this way. No, let's do concrete, that's it, whatever. It's like, no, there is a way, let's try it. But that's the problems that we have.
You also mentioned that cost can be prohibitive as well. So, I mean, I imagine that, number one, the labor would be more expensive because you may be trying some new things. And then maybe the materials are also more expensive. So how do you balance, you know, the cost between trying to be eco-friendly and, you know, maybe long-term reduced costs versus the outright costs that you have to pay at the beginning?
For me, it's not that the material is more expensive. It's that because the process is, I would say, it's more simple, less chemicals. I don't have to pay. But the problem is that there is not that much demand.
Yeah.
It's like when we start to have phones, one phone was like so expensive. It was like there's not that many. So I think, or the solar panels, like also was so expensive to have that. And slowly, slowly, how more demand we have, more cheap can be, like because there's more demand, the fabric, they can do different ones. So it's like less cost for them to do it, not just one or two in the year. So I think like it's just like a circle.
Yeah.
Like, that if we push more,
yeah,
it's going to be cheaper after. Yeah. But also, I wouldn't say it's that much expensive. A lot of these alternative construction systems, you can do it yourself, let's say. So if you, you learn how to do it, you can do it. And also, the initial cost is higher, but the long-term cost is going to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we are saying, like you're going to save so much money in heating and cooling, and who knows how much going to cost in 1 year the electricity or anything. So I think it's a long-term cost. It's better. It's cheaper.
Yeah. And you mentioned before, you know, going to Bali and seeing some new different construction methods and materials. So I understand that, you know, you've moved from Spain and you've gone to a few different countries. Can you talk about your experience learning from, you know, different countries and their different ways of building things?
I think in Europe we are pretty like evolved in terms of like how to build like a high performance building. And now it's pretty trendy, like the prefabricated timber houses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm happy that there is like much more like providers that they want to do this. And I saw from before I leave from now, I saw like they are like now building like buildings all made from wood. Like I'm happy that because the wood for me is one of the most eco-friendly materials. The main reason is because all the life that all the time that you need to grow this wood is giving you the trees, that it gives you the planet and for everyone like the oxygen that we need and stuff. So that's the main reason. For example, here, this is what I saw in Spain, this trend to do everything more prefabricated, which is good because you reduce transport, like machines or whatever, in to bring it to the side. You have all in one side.
Yeah.
And also then I went to Thailand for in the middle of my degree. We went to an NGO. They were like building a school and it was pretty cool because this local guy named Bo, he was like teaching the people from the area how to build their own houses in that school that we were building. And that school that we were building was built just from the materials that we had in the area.
Uh-huh.
So we were taking the stones from the river, the wood from the trees, bamboo, everything. And we were like building, I don't know, the walls also with bottles of beer. All the waste, mm-hmm, they were putting on the walls, and they were making like kind of lights. It was like an interesting kind of windows,
yeah.
with the waste that they were using. This was like when it opened a bit my mind in there, like, okay, there is a way to do things a bit better and not like destroy all the forest, then put there everything and concrete. I think, mm-hmm, it's like there is a more sensitive way to do things. Mm-hmm. And then I went also to Bali like 3 or 4 times. And it impressed me a lot how, what is the level of that they have to build in bamboo. They built even like 6-floor house just in bamboo.
Wow.
Like how they do the foundations and how they treat the bamboo, that you have to treat it for the termites and to make it like long-term maintenance. But that was like impressive and still they're doing it.
And do you use any of these techniques in the places that you're designing now?
We are not using that much. For example, bamboo in here in Australia, it's a bit, it's not that developed.
And yeah.
It's hard to find. You can find timber floor planks made by bamboo. But again, if the bamboo is coming from Bali or wherever, I think it's better to use a timber floor.
Yeah.
So also another system that maybe it could bring to Australia to use is like so the ramped earth systems. Like they're pretty good and they are starting to do it a lot in here and also New Zealand. It's a technique like concrete or the hempcrete that we were talking about. Like that you put like, and you can use the same soil that you have in your plot. So it's pretty, it's the most sustainable also system because it's like a sandcastle. You build it with the soil that you have in there. And if one day like it's gone or whatever, you're going to have that waste. It's just the soil that you were having. So it's pretty like pretty good in here. We were using a ramped earth in some of our projects in Zahir Architects and timber we were using a lot too. But yeah, some clients, they want some concrete and like crazy shapes. And in there, it's like,
You have to go with the, I guess, standard materials.
Yeah. And if the clients, they want some, I don't know, some sort of construction system, you cannot go against it. Yeah. That's the one that they put the money. But yeah, that's it.
I have a question about the rammed earth. And I think, my worry would be is that, you know, if, you know, I could leave my home and then just turn that rammed earth back into the earth that it came from, would it be as sound, as structurally sound as... maybe concrete, you know, it sounds like maybe it would start to disintegrate after a few years and return back to the earth. Is that a problem?
Yeah, the concrete has these chemicals.
Yeah.
So if you would do that with, and also with concrete, you used to put like metal wires inside.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that easy to just demolish it, I think, the concrete walls.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the ramped earth, it's like you don't have chemicals. You can like, unless you do on a special ramped earth with a bit of cement that sometimes they do for stabilize, as a stabilizer. But if you don't, you can perfectly demolish and put it in there on the floor. And the problem is that when it rains, for example, when you demolish a concrete wall, and you have to take out all the metal that you have in there. It's like a longer process, I would say. That also, when it rains, all these chemicals going to go to the river and to the ocean, and when it's not that good.
But with rammed earth, is there a chance that, like, you know, maybe a flood or even just, you know, a really long-term leak could actually just, I guess, wear away at the soil and you'd end up with no foundations at all?
Well, you do... the foundations with concrete or like another type, or you can do it with concrete and stones. You need like a basement, and then you do the whole walls.
Okay,
you cannot like do just the ramped earth on the floor like that.
Okay,
you need to prepare the floor.
Uh huh.
Saying that, now in Switzerland, I think, and University of India and stuff, they are like creating and evolving like a concrete mm-hmm. that use 30% less of CO2 emissions. It's called LC3. Mm-hmm. It's limestone, clay, and it's like more natural materials. Uh-huh. And they are achieving that perform the same as the concrete. So this one would be one of a really, really good construction systems.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Great. And was there anything else with that you wanted to discuss before we move on to the next section?
I don't know. I would say like we need to be like open mind and have the mindset that, yeah, it's not the easy way to go in this sustainability goal, but I think it's the right one. Uh-huh. So I think we have to put all the heads together and try to make it like better and understand that even if the cost is a bit more in the beginning, it's going to give you like the return investment after.
Okay, thank you. And that moves us perfectly along to our next section, which is the practice and habit section. Uh-huh. And so I'd love to learn, how do you incorporate an eco-friendly mindset into your work?
I would say like, you have to be like so clear with your clients of what is the best option to do, like the way to go, because sometimes they're gonna tell you like, oh, but this is more expensive, but you have to make them understand that it's expensive, but you're gonna have all this benefit, and it's gonna perform better. Uh-huh. So I think it's how you explain the things, because I don't know, we have to, the architects, it's like we have the goal for the clients to make them understand, you have all these options and this option going to give you this way. So it's better to have like a large knowledge of different construction systems to bring them in different climates also, because it's not the same. A client that wants a house in Queensland, super tropical and stuff, or another one that wants here in Melbourne. You need to understand that not the same construction system gonna be the most sustainable in here or there, or more high performance. So I don't know, I think like, to put this in practice at work, I would say it's like to keep learning and to keep like looking about all that stuff.
And what about if you're trying to make eco-friendly choices in an existing home?
In an existing home, you can change, for example, you can retrofit your house. So you can change your windows. For example, mm-hmm. here, the most problematic thing I see in Australia is that the windows are single glazing everywhere. And in Spain or in Europe, you don't even think about this option. It's like minimum double glazing, and even in north of Europe, triple glazing. And it's kind of easy to change. Uh-huh. So you take it and they fabricate like another one the same size and they put it in. And the other option would be do like a second layer of insulation to have it like to have this skin more efficient than now. That now it's like paper, as you said.
Yeah.
But this is two of the alternatives that they will save you. And also the heating and cooling system. Maybe you can change it for a more efficient one.
Mm. So we've got a few questions from the audience today. Mm-hmm. So the first question is a little bit related to what we've talked about before, but what are the small steps we could take to make our home more eco-friendly? And this is from Graysella ID from Instagram.
Okay. Well, the steps is maybe the ones that we already said, like about retrofit your home, like with windows and have in mind how you can do it to make this house better performance, better performed, like with the skin, with a cross ventilation also. Also, if you would like to paint or build a new thing in your house, like have in mind to use like some materials that are like the embodied energy that they have. It's like so reduced energy that they needed, for example. Just check, for example, when you're going to buy one tile, where it come from, how many processes they need to do, and ask to the provider. Because the provider, if it's bad, yeah, they will never answer you.
Okay, so a good way to know a good provider is if they know things.
Yeah, they can answer you, not with percentage, and because there is a lot of greenwashing out there. You have to be careful. No, because it has 30% less of whatever than other materials. Okay, yeah. But maybe has 30% less of this chemical, but has it comes from, I don't know, from Spain or whatever, that makes it less sustainable than the other one, that maybe has not 30%, has 15% less of this chemical, but it comes from this and has less process to produce that. Or use recycled materials to produce this. For example, bricks. Now they are using like recycled plastics to make these bricks, or like concrete also, they put some tires in it or whatever. So this could be like a good reason to see everything in a big perspective instead of just, ah, they told me this is so cool. No. Okay, and everything else.
Not in home building, but I think I've been tricked with that in my own personal life. You know, this has got 20% less plastic. Oh, great. And then you buy it and you realize it was actually individual chip packets. So
exactly.
It's still got lots of plastic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How you chip it till here, who work on that? Is the local people around here? Or is like you pay $2 for a poor children in Indonesia, or I don't know where, or in India. So yeah, it's so important too.
And you have also answered our second question from the audience, which is how can architects and builders integrate recycled materials into construction projects, and what challenges do they face?
Exactly.
And you've talked about that a little bit, but what are some of the challenges?
Yeah, the challenges again, because they need to test it and see if, okay, I'm going to put in this concrete wall. I'm going to use pieces of glass or pieces of bricks that they demolish one house and they put in there. It's pretty good because we are having less waste. But yeah, we don't know how this is going to perform. Maybe it's going to break, are going to fissure it in 5 years or no. So this needs to be test. So that's the challenge, to innovate without getting like a bad quality walls or materials in your house.
We want to experiment and try new things and innovate, but not if it means that the house becomes dangerous in 5 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you so much. That's all for our questions from the audience today. Okay. So we're going to move on to the open mic section now. So that's where you get a chance to talk about something that you're passionate about, and it doesn't have to be related to our topic today. So what would you like to talk about?
I would like to talk about like health in physical and mental, like all together, and surfing related, because I think like it's one of the passions I have, and it helps me a lot to be like present and to be physical healthy and like mentally too. Like if I'm so stressed, I go to the ocean and I'm like, I'm really like in my zen place, let's say. And well, more here in Australia, the dolphins are all around and like,
oh, wow.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to talk about that because also we are organizing like women's surf trips to empower them and make them more confident. And I think like there is like a big thing of there is like a lot of men in the world, but women, sometimes I feel like, oh wow, I'm the only one here, and like maybe there's 50 people and I'm just me and another girl. And I feel like we don't have, I don't know, enough confident that we're going to be, I don't know, out of the water and like we are like a bit more, oh, we never did that much before. There is not that habit to for us to surf that much. Now it's getting so much better. But before it was like, yeah, no one was surfing as a woman, I think. Well, no one, but it was weird to see maybe a woman.
I don't know if this is, I know that I don't really know anyone who surfs. And I think that maybe because I don't live super close, I think, to any place to surf. So it's a little bit prohibitive. You know, if you've got to buy a board, you've got to buy it like, I guess a wetsuit, you've got to go to the place to go surfing. And if you don't have like an established network around you of people who are going to take you for your first time, maybe it's a little bit more difficult to get started. And if it's mostly men and boys going and women aren't really considered, women aren't going to be going surfing and learning how to do it.
Exactly. I think here it's because for so long, the men, they were already going out together and stuff. So they have the habit that, I don't know. But the woman, it's like sometimes it's a bit, I would say like, I don't know, I'm the only one here.
Yeah.
I feel like, how you call it?
Excluded?
Yeah, a bit that you shouldn't be there, maybe.
Why I'm the like only one? Like an outsider?
Here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I want to encourage like that the women, we are like more capable, like for sure enough capable to
more
go
confidence.
And confidence with them. And that's why we're doing these retreats, like apart from, showing you the pop-up and techniques, it's like a mindset change, let's say. We just do like the woman to go all together everywhere and no, we can do this. And doesn't matter if, because the men usually they have more strength.
Yeah.
So it's a bit, they can do it, but maybe I can't because like, I don't know. But no, it's not true. We have like more eye detail on the technique and we can like use this tool for it.
What we lack in strength, we have in technique.
Exactly.
Great.
That is true. Yeah.
Thank you. And so if people want to join you, can they join you?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yes. Where are you running this and how can they find you?
We are mostly in Byron Bay, but we're going to run some, we used to do in Jamba, Crescent Head and stuff. But they can go to our website, Save Wave Community, or our Instagram. And we run them in Byron mostly, but we're going to run some in Sri Lanka, Indonesia, Morocco, to do some retreats out there too.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Great.
To know other cultures and stuff, like... Yeah,
perfect. And we'll make sure that those links are in our show notes. So if people do want to find you, they can find you. And also, if people want to find out more about your work and about you, if they want to talk to you, how can they find you?
They can find me in my website, artnature.com, or in my Instagram too, @_nature. But yeah, and I would be so happy to help if anyone needs some advice for do like in order to do like a high performance and sustainable house. I would be so happy to help.
Great, thank you so much. And once again, we'll make sure all of those links are in the show notes so people can find you. They can follow you on Instagram.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Enjoying our work and strength to go and get better in this planet that it's like a bit going down.
Yeah.
So we can join forces to make things right.
Our choices can make the difference.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel. as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.